Hi, I'm Matt Birch. I'm working on the design for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix with this good man over here.
Hi, I'm Justin Manning. I'm the producer on Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Well, I mean, the story of Order of the Phoenix is just awesome. It's got so many wonderful moments in it. It's very difficult to sort of choose any particular things, and it's not just the big things either. So we, you know, huge excitement when we got the first version of Little Whinging in, and certainly, you know, going to Grimmauld Place for the first time, absolutely brilliant. You know, you get a chance to go along, you see creature, you know, fantastic. Just getting that opportunity to go and explore this place that you read about and is so full of curiosity, and then you get to go to Hogwarts and. You know, it's just incredible. I mean, the first time I walked onto the Grand Staircase just blew me away because, you know, and I'm working on the game and I just sat there and I wandered out onto the Grand Staircase and went, oh my God, we've got the Grand Staircase. This is absolutely incredible. And, yeah, the team were equally as excited. But, you know, we had to, do more with Hogwarts. So we've taken a lot of the plot points and injected them into Hogwarts. So there's lots of little things for you to go and find. We had a great moment. I have a few questions on the missions that I was testing some of the cast members on. And I showed the snitch. There's a snitch in the common room in our game. And I asked Ivana why the snitch was there, and she got it right. She pointed out that Harry does lose the snitch in the book. I mean, she was absolutely on the ball. You know, every question I asked, she had the right answer. She was awesome. I mean, as a fan, you know, it was incredible.
I think she said half of her brain was devoted to Harry Potter, wasn't it? She actually made a big kind of melon-sized shape that said that was kind of the size she devoted to Harry Potter in her mind.
I'm surprised that it's only half because, maybe she's saving the other half for book seven. Because, I don't know how you could possibly squeeze more information in there. I think she was quite impressive.
Even her phone ringtone was the Harry Potter theme, wasn't it? It was Hedwig's yeah. theme.
Although I was very impressed by some of the other cast members getting some of the other the portrait missions, particularly we've filled out some of the portraits, so there's shortcuts in the castle that you have to go and speak to some of the portraits and speak to them, and you know they have little things that make you go and explore the world, and one or two of those things are really nice little fictional things, and again. It was a great sort of way to sort of gauge how much fans people were by throwing these questions out that are in the game, but putting all of the Hogwarts stuff aside, I mean there's huge plot points which still have to be covered. I mean Grimmauld Place in Christmas, Umbridge breaking into the room requirement, the kiss between Harry and Cho, all of these, the first time we're touching on them in the game, is just like, oh my God, look, finally it's realised, it's awesome.
And let's not forget Fred and George.
Fred and George, they rock. I love Fred and George so much. I do apologise for my enthusiasm regarding them, but they are awesome. And we have got a moment where Fred and George take to their brooms and escape, so definitely a highlight for me. But then we've got other moments in there. It gets darker when Umbridge takes over, and we have the lesson where you're teaching Patronus, and the DA gets discovered. We have obviously Dumbledore has his escape, which is just another one of those moments in the book where you go, go Dumbledore, that's awesome, you teach those ministry wizards, but then you go off to the ministry and you actually get to and have that frightening series of events where
and the sad event
yes, so
sad for all serious fans, which I know you all are.
Yes, it's one of those things when we're sort of, we were debating rewriting the story and having it so that Sirius couldn't die, but, we thought...
Fictional integrity all the way.
It's probably not a good idea. So, we have the moment as part of the game. And then, of course, there's the face-off with Dumbledore and Voldemort, which is so filled with tension that, how can it fail to be awesome? So,
and occlumency.
And of course, occlumency. Yeah.
The list just goes on, Matt, I think is what we're saying. There's a ton of stuff in here. And I think there's so much in this book, actually. It's such a good book for Harry coming to be a leader of It's his step into adulthood, isn't it? And he's kind of leading all the DA members. And it's really a sort of sign of things to come. I think it's a great book.
For me, personally, and I know on Emeritus you're all big Sirius Black fans, but my personal favourite is Fred and George. I think they absolutely rule. So for me, seeing them come to life and actually wandering around and being their cheeky selves has been fantastic. But there's so many characters. I mean, seeing Sirius Black for the first time in the game, we only recently got him in. Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, this year we've scanned the actors and they look, you know, incredibly similar to the real characters that you see when you watch the movies. So seeing all of them come to life has an element of pleasure. But, you know, seeing some of the other smaller characters come to life as well is fantastic. I mean, seeing Colin Creevy go in the game is really cute and sort of having him gabbling away. We've got the wonders of Ron and Hermione coming alongside you and offering you wonderful, helpful comments, which are just fantastic because you have those little moments of realization that this bit's from you know that page in the book, and you think, oh right, yeah, no, I know that, I've seen that in the movie, or I read that in the book. So yeah, there's lots of little things like that. Another favourite for me is Moaning Myrtle, but I don't know about you, Justin.
I thought Luna was your favourite, Matt.
Oh, Luna's my second favourite after Fred and George, but seeing Myrtle in the game was really good fun because it was the first time we got a ghost in.
It was, yeah, excellent.
And having her sort of appear through a wall and start talking to you was quite unnerving.
I was actually quite shocked to see her for the first time. Matt made that particular piece of magic happen in his spare time, didn't you, Matt?
Well, you know, we've got a Moaning Myrtle's my favourite ghost, so...
Matt is absolutely committed to getting as many characters into the game as possible. It's his lifetime's obsession, I think.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of people on the team who are really going for broke on trying to get all of these things in. So, you know, we've got people going and looking at portraits and trying to get things in. And we've got people spending some spare time modelling extra things that aren't necessarily on the schedule just so we can get them in and have that little element of Harry Potter that they love appear in the game. So... you know, lots of little things are sneaking in and we're hoping to get a few more in before the project's out.
We are including multiplayer on some of the platforms, mainly the handhelds actually this year. We're doing some multiplayer missions on the PSP and we're definitely looking at playing some of the dark characters on PSP. Also on the NDS version, we're looking at sort of sharing some of the sort of mini games and the classroom experiences that we're doing in the NDS version. We've actually removed it from the console versions and the PC version this year. We had a lot of feedback about cameras and the way the game played last year, and we really wanted to focus back in on making the single-player experience, this kind of filmic, cinematic experience that you've kind of all been clamouring for. You want to see Harry close-up, you want to see the characters close-up, and we can't do that if you have to fit three players on the screen. So we're really focusing in on a much more cinematic feel. And getting the cameras right this year so that, you know, the gameplay isn't compromised for a multiplayer view. So it's one of our big focuses.
Yeah, I mean, we've looked at each of the characters and sort of, you know, almost done a little set of top trumps that tell you the stats for each of them so we can sort of measure their spells and how we're going to put those across in the game based on the strengths of the characters. And very much like your question does, you know, we picked out very similar things for what those characters do, so... we have a moment really early on where you get a chance to play Fred and George and you've just learned Fred and George, and you've just learned the basic set of spells that Harry, Ron and Hermione use, which are still quite impressive. But when Fred and George get to do it, as you know, they are well, academically, you know, not necessarily as, say, astute and driven as Hermione. They are, in fact, awesome wizards. So when you get your chance with Fred and George, when you use the same spells that you just used as a kid, they're you know, multiplied up times two what you can do with the younger wizards. But then when you get a chance to take over Sirius and play with Sirius, you know, the spells take on an entirely different level. And, of course, he's a much more diving in... trying to, you know, impetuous character. So we really sort of pulled the combat spells out there and said, you know, what would he do with the combat spells that the kids do. And, you know, obviously he's pretty good too. You know, we don't have too many rubbish wizards in the Order of the Phoenix. So, when he's shooting off the jinxes and the aggressive spells, they're much more powerful than what the kids do at school. But then, of course, you get Dumbledore and, you know, greatest wizard of our time. So he's got to do something pretty special, which I'll leave you to get to in the game and discover.
We can't actually play the Marauders in Snape's worst memory, but we are definitely including Occlumency as a key part of the game. It actually appears several times for us throughout your experience in Hogwarts, and it's something we're working on right now. So again, watch this space, and we'll talk a little bit more about it later. I actually think our first two or three games were very much geared towards younger audiences. So we had Chamber of Secrets and Philosopher's Stone and Prisoner of Azkaban, where we were sort of following the art style from the book covers, and we were certainly trying to be more like the books than the films. But what we think we realised sort of last year with Goblet of Fire is that the films were getting darker. We saw that in Prisoner of Azkaban quite clearly, the Quaron film. You saw the werewolves, it was a darker palette to the film, it was all subdued. And so we realised for Goblet of Fire we would change the art style. So you will notice in Goblet of Fire it's very much darker and more mature. And I think with the fiction, the way it's going, you can't avoid being darker. Voldemort rose in the last one. There was no way you can avoid that as a plot point. So that was in the game. And that did drive our rating up. I mean, in different territories it was rated differently. But certainly in Germany it was a 12+. It was an E10 in America. And, in Europe, it was quite high as well. But we're in line with the movie. And this year, we're starting with the movie. So we're trying to build the art style around all the assets from the movie. We're building everything from the blueprints of the real sets. We're on kind of set, taking photos, trying to make it as authentic and real as possible. And so, if the movie's going to be darker, we're going to be darker. And we're still aiming for the same kind of rating as last year, but we're very much focused on making an authentic movie and book experience. So we have released 5 screenshots today. There was definitely a Snape, and we did a Cho, we did
Ron, Hermione, Harry.
And we are going to release some more in the new year. So if you want Sirius, we'll look into that.
So all the major characters, Bellatrix, Lucius, Sirius, the ones you mentioned there specifically, we've gone and got scanned data wherever possible, and where we've not been able to get that, we've gone and got lots of reference photos and modelled as closely as we possibly can to recreate them. We've gone for almost every character I can think of.
Absolutely. The list of characters is a mile long. We've done the Order, we've done the Dumbledore's Army, we've done teachers, we've done pupils. You add that all up and that's quite a hefty number. Yeah. And we've also still got to populate Hogwarts with a bunch of pupils, Ravenclaws, Hufflepuffs, Gryffindors, Slytherins. The list of characters is just huge.
We've even gone back to older movies and where they've had DA members featuring, which aren't necessarily featuring in the current movie, we've gone and based our models on those actors from the previous movies.
And where possible, we've also got those actors in to voice their parts. So this year is one time, because we are trying to get so close to the movie and be so authentic to the movie, we've actually made it our business to go out and find the actors and try and get them in to voice their own parts. And I think at the last count, we've got over 20 of the actors voicing their own parts.
Yeah, and because another point on that, really, which I think is really important, because I'm loving it, frankly. but the fact that we've got an opportunity in the game to extend beyond just the what the movie's doing, we are getting a chance to explore the DA in more detail. So having some of those characters in that aren't in this current movie. And being able to spend some time with them, I think, is fantastic. So really important to keep the authenticity by getting those guys as well as the guys from the current movie.
It's also actually a great opportunity to speak to the actors about their characters and have them in and see what they think about the characters and what we're doing, kind of get their feedback.
It's been phenomenal. Those guys actually, wandered around those sets for months and, looked at each other for a lot longer than we've had an opportunity to. And so having them come in and we've given them little tours of the studio, and they've seen all the characters are work in progress, and some of the reactions have been outrageously good. I mean, I was so nervous showing them, you know, when you show them a picture of them. I mean, imagine it's kind of like somebody showing you a portrait of you, which you didn't know they were doing, and slightly scary, but the reactions have been outrageous. I mean, you know, people like Padma and Parvati came in and saw their models and were absolutely blown away by how close they were to them in reality. And Dean Thomas was in the other day, and he looked at it and he was just staring at it going, is that a photo, which is just, I mean, fantastic. And yeah, we had Rupert Grint in as well, and he was looking at his image of Ron, and at the minute it was slightly off color, and we did say at the moment we're calling it Zombie Ron, but he saw it and went, oh my God, that likeness is incredible. But then when he saw it in the game, and he actually saw it in the common room, and we've been doing a lot of work on the common room because it's such an important room to the fiction, and to you know, the fact that you're playing three of the Gryffindor students, and the fact that you're in there, and we showed it to Rupert, and he saw it and he went, my goodness, it's just like the set that I've been walking around for the last 5 years. And, you know, that was fantastic, you know, to get that kind of validation for the work that we've been doing. I mean, the team's been throwing themselves at getting this as close as they can to what the movie's got. And, you know, he was going in and saying, yeah, and that portrait really is there. So, you know, this is unbelievable. It's uncanny. It's very cool. When James and Oliver, Fred and George, came in and saw their characters, they actually asked for printouts to be sent to them because they were so impressed, which was really cool. I think, you know, again, hats off to the character team. They're doing a great job modelling everybody who's appearing in the game.
What we've tried to do with the story this year is actually tell it through the dialogue of the characters in-game. What we've done in the past is kind of try and tell the story through the cutscene, so you'd kind of play a level, have a cutscene, see a bit of story and then move on. We wanted to really immerse the player from start to finish in the game, and therefore the story comes through the dialogue between characters. What we've done with the members of the DA specifically is actually trawl back through all the books and the films and try and find anything we can find about those characters. Any two lines that kind of they're mentioned in, and that's what we base their kind of mission or the thing that you do for them in the game on. So it's not really creating a backstory, it's looking through the fiction to find any information we can find about them and then trying to reflect that in the activities you do with that character.
You know, one example is Ernie McMillan. I mean, there isn't a huge amount written about him apart from some of his personality traits in the fiction. However, we do know that in Half-Blood Prince that he passed potions exceed expectations. So we looked at that and thought, well, clearly he does a lot of potions work in Order of the Phoenix, because that's how he gets his owl to be able to go on and do potions in the sixth year. So we looked at, okay, what would he do and how could that work for us as a member of the DA? Another example is Susan Bones. We know from at the beginning of the book that her aunt is in the trial for Harry. And so what we've done is we've picked up on that later on, and she's being bullied by some Slytherin, and they're mentioning very specifically the fact that, you know, Harry got off at the trial and it was probably down to Amelia Bones. So she's taking the heat for her aunt's actions, and you know, you have to go to help her and get her out of that situation, to get her involved with the DA. You know, and one of the more fun ones is somebody like Zachariah Smith. We went through and we found that you know, obviously he's not the kind of character that, you know, I think most of us would befriend naturally. So where you know, you read the book, and I you know, maybe it's just me, but you know, I really wanted to punch the guy. but you know, so we looked at the missions that we could do, and you know, the way he gives you the mission, he sort of doesn't believe in everything that Harry's saying, or he tentatively believing in it, but he doesn't really want to you know, back it wholeheartedly. So, you know, he gives you lots of objectionable tasks to do, you know, and you end up, he sort of treats you a little bit like a slave when you're doing your DA mission for him. But then you get your revenge later on when you learn combat spells with him, and he's the target of the entire DA, which I thought was quite gratifying for everybody who hates Zachariah Smith. So, you know, we've looked at a lot of things in the fiction, and we've taken into account their personalities, we've taken into account the situations that they've got in the book and read into a lot of the things that they mention, you know, like Hannah Abbott having the sleep, calming draft because she's so nervous about the exams. We've picked up on little details like that about those characters to be able to build the DA mission. So we've not made our own stories up. We've taken the stuff from the fiction and extrapolated it. So one of the things with all of these details that we've pulled out, I mean, we're very conscious that we don't want to presume what the characters have actually done. So all of these scripts and all of these missions get sent through to J.K. Rowling, who graciously reads through them and comments on them. So, you know, if we've done something which she doesn't agree with, she puts a note on it and we try and address it. You know, anything that goes in the game, she's had a look at, and in a way given it her seal of approval.
With regard to the musical score, we're definitely trying to get some of the music from the film into the game. It's probably a little early to confirm anything now, but definitely watch this space and we'll let you know.
We've got quite a few locations outside Hogwarts that you actually get a chance to go in and look at and spend some time in. One of them's a little whinging because obviously the Dementor attack of the Pinion is pretty pivotal and establishes Umbridge as hideously evil. You know, and it's a really nice sort of big moment to start the game with. So we're going to have a small section of little whinging in there for you to actually go and spend a little time in. I think it'll be the first time you're in the Muggle world in a Harry Potter game.
It's true. It's definitely the first time you're in the Muggle world.
And we've also then, after that, you get to spend some time in Grimmauld Place, which I think is going to be very important.
Where you get to meet Sirius Black for the first time.
Absolutely. I mean, we're having it at the start so that Sirius actually spends time with you, and you walk around just with Sirius at that point, and he trains you in some of the basic spells that you use throughout the game. And you also get a chance to go back a little later and explore it as an open environment, which is quite cool. We've written lots of little tiny missions for you to go and do, and you get to examine lots of little things in there. And, you know, some of the things which I know a lot of the conspiracy theories that are floating around on the web are very interested in. We've included a few lines to call those out. So if you're a fan, go and have a look and see whether you can discover them. Also, you know, on top of that, we have the Ministry of Magic, which, you know, you can't not mention. I mean, it's absolutely huge. So, you know, you're going to spend a little bit of time in the various rooms and chambers in there that are really important. And, of course, as we all know, there's one room in there which is very important for the fiction.
And let's not forget Hogwarts itself. I mean, Hogwarts itself is a huge, huge environment. I mean, it's not just the Great Hall and the Grand Staircase. You know, it's everything from the boathouse to the herbology greenhouses, Hagrid's hut to the Stone Circle, the Owlry. You know, there are well over 74 odd locations in Hogwarts itself. It's an absolutely enormous place, so let's not understate that. And you spend a lot of time there. There's a lot of things to discover. A lot of people to discover, a lot of classes to go to.
When the last time I actually tried just walking to every single room in Hogwarts as fast as I could, it took me just under 2 hours to visit everywhere, and I knew where I was going. So,
and that's not 2 hours of loading screen.
No.
It's seamless. You walk from one end to the other without seeing a loading screen. It's fantastic this year.
We are looking at getting a little part of Hogwarts in that you can actually walk around at night, because there's obviously a few key moments in the story where, you know, such as the dream about Arthur, where, you know, it all happens at night, and, you know, kind of unfaithful to avoid it. But it's also quite a lot of work for us to do, because it's almost like us, you know, setting Hogwarts up twice to be able to do it at night, and then twice again to do it at Christmas, and then Christmas at night. And you can see how the mathematics goes pretty ballistic when you start adding all these combinations together. So at the moment, considering how huge Hogwarts is, we're focusing very much on Hogwarts in the day, but we're looking at having a few areas where you can walk around at night, but you know, I hesitate to guarantee it, but you know, the team are trying really hard, so hopefully we'll be able to get a few moments in there for you.
We are putting potions, well, actually a potions lesson in the game. One of the great things about Hogwarts is obviously there's these magical classes around. And so what we want to do is allow you to go along to the classes. If you do a little task for each of the teachers, they allow you to come into the class and you can do potions class or herbology class or transfiguration or charms. So we are going to be doing something whereby you can kind of mix potions in your potions class.
In terms of collecting potions ingredients, I mean, I mentioned the Ernie McMillan thing. We do have a few little things where you have to go off and find these things. So Ernie's little task is for you to actually go and find some potion ingredients, and he helps you prepare them to help Harry.
And the great thing about our potions for us is that, you know, we've got the Wii controller, and we've got the NDS stylus, and we've got a more interactive form of control on the PS2 this year. So actually you get to really kind of stir and interact with the potions, and on DS you can even blow them to cool them down, which is fantastic. So it's really interactive kind of potions class this year.
Just while you mentioned those tasks for the teachers, I do want to point out that for quite a few of the teachers, you actually do the homework that you have to do in the book. Because, you know, if it was in the fiction, it's worth pulling out. And I think, you know, we've got lots of lines of Snape saying 12 inches on the properties of Moonstone Potter, which is, yeah, really quite amusing.
So there is a chance of a Hogwarts game where a student goes through the school taking lessons. We've certainly looked at all of, you know, kind of the ideas you've done there, and we have had games designs for all of those. The thing is, we're really, really just focused on making the movie games. Until we've done all of the movie games, it's something we're not even going to consider. We just don't have the time. There's so much work that goes into making a great, authentic movie experience in software that, you know, it's just not on the cards for at least another couple of years. One big bit of feedback we've got from particularly boys is that they did want to play the dark characters, and it's something we've never been able to do before, but actually, because we thought it was so important this year, we've really sort of gone to bat on it, and we do have it on one of the platforms. So for people playing the PSP game, you will be able to play dark characters like Voldemort or the Death Eaters or the Inquisitorial Squad.
So first of all, I want to apologise for my sore throat, but I really want to take this opportunity to say thanks to everybody at HBANA and Emeritus who's been commenting on the game. We are actually reading all of the stuff that you post, and we are using it to filter what we're putting in the game as we're making the decisions, because, you know, we do only have a limited amount of resource, so getting your feedback on what we need to focus on has been absolutely invaluable in trying to make this game as great as you guys want it and as great as we want it as well. So, yeah, a huge thank you, and that's 100% genuine. So, you're the best. Awesome. You rock like Fred and George.